They say war is hell, but in the grim darkness of the far future, hell is an understatement. Here, even survival can be a curse. Imagine it. You're an Imperial Guardsman fighting on some emperor-forsaken world. Bolts and last fire scythe through the air. Artillery shakes the ground and screams mixed with the roar of battle. You charge forward among countless comrades, knowing full well most of you won't be coming back. Then it happens. A burst of shrapnel, a flash of pain. You hit the dirt, bleeding and broken. But fate isn't kind enough to finish you off quickly. No, you're alive, wounded, and about to discover that for an Imperial Guardsman, the aftermath of injury can be more horrifying than death. Welcome to the reality of the Astra Militarum's battlefield medicine, a world of grit, desperation, and dark pragmatism. Today, we're pulling back the curtain on what really happens to wounded guardsmen. Prepare yourself for a journey through makeshift medici stations, grim field triage, and the often merciless fate that awaits those unlucky enough to survive their wounds in the 41st millennium. On the battlefields of the far future, medical miracles are in short supply. When a guardsman goes down, the best he can hope for is that someone, anyone, notices before an enemy round or a hungry alien finishes the job. In theory, every regiment has medics, sometimes called combat medici or field chirurgeons. In practice, whether a wounded trooper gets help depends on a cocktail of luck, resources, and the brutal logic of war. A field medic rushing to your side might be a Scola-trained doctor from a civilized world, armed with seen-skin gloves and vials of coagulants. Or they might be a panicked comrade with a few weeks of first aid training. Or just the squad mate who drew the short straw and carries the tourniquets. In some regiments, drawn from primitive backwater planets, the medic might even be a tribal shaman or a half-trained bonesaw who thinks antibiotics are witchcraft. Suffice to say, the quality of care varies wildly. If you're lucky, you're in a unit like the Cadians or another well-equipped force where the medici know a thing or two about proper treatment. If you're unlucky, maybe you're a poor soul from a feral world regiment, where battlefield medicine might involve slapping moss on the wound or sticking a hot iron in it while muttering a prayer. Regardless of the medic's background, one thing is consistent across the Imperial Guard. Resources are almost always scarce, and time is always short. In the middle of a battle under fire, a medic has to make snap decisions. The Imperial Guard's approach to triage can be summed up as save who you can, give mercy to those you can't, and don't waste time or supplies. For every wounded soldier screaming for help, there are more getting shot every second. Triage is brutal. A gut wound with intestines spilling out? That's probably beyond saving on the field. Better to give that man the Emperor's mercy and move on to the next. A lost arm or a laburn through the thigh? Painful, yes, but if he can still hold a last gun or limp along, slap a bandage on it and get him back in the fight. In fact, a common battlefield treatment for the Imperial Guard is almost comically grim. Stop the bleeding, pump them full of stimulants, and send them back into the fray. Medics carry injectors loaded with potent stims, a cocktail of painkillers and combat drugs that can make a mortally wounded man stand up and fight for a few more minutes. Picture yourself choking on blood, vision dimming, and then feeling a needle jab through a gap in your flak armor. Suddenly, your heart is hammering like an overcharged last pack, your nerves are on fire, and you're on your feet again. You're not better, far from it. You're running on borrowed time and borrowed strength. That stim shot might be the only reason you can still scream a battle cry and pull the trigger one more time, and that is exactly the point. The medics of the Guard aren't there to ensure you live a long life. They're there to ensure you can die usefully, preferably taking some enemies with you. Imperial field chirurgeons have a dark saying: if he can scream, he can fight. A soldier with a bandaged stump and a cocktail of pain-numbing drugs can still charge the enemy's lines, at least for a little while. Often, these quick patch-up jobs are enough to get a soldier through the battle, and then he promptly keels over after the adrenaline wears off. Systemic shock, internal bleeding, organ failure, all the things the medics didn't have time to fix will come due. But by then, maybe the battle is won, or at least a few more minutes of fighting were bought with that soldier's life. In the Imperium's eyes, that's a fair trade. In fact, one legendary Katakan officer, Colonel Ironhand Strachan, was said to roar at a wounded trooper, "Stop whining, you've got another damned leg," when the soldier was clutching a mangled limb. Crude as it is, that statement perfectly encapsulates the guard's attitude. If you're not dead, you can still fight, so get on with it. The idea of gently carrying the wounded out on stretchers is a luxury rarely afforded amidst the meat grinder of galactic warfare. There are no Geneva Conventions here, no guaranteed medevacs with red crosses. Sure, you might have a medic in your squad, sometimes marked with a red Aquila or a Caduceus symbol on their armband. But the enemy doesn't care. In fact, in some wars, medics are targeted first. The enemies of mankind are nothing if not pragmatic about crippling the guard's limited ability to patch itself up. A guardsman's best hope is usually to drag himself to cover or have a buddy haul him behind a burnt-out Chimera tank, where a field medic will find him and do a hasty assessment. A field medic who reaches you will perform a quick, ruthless check. First, are you still breathing? If yes, you have a chance. Next, is anything immediately life-threatening that they can actually fix on the spot? If so, they'll try. Maybe slap a sealant patch on that gushing wound, tie a tourniquet around what's left of your leg, or inject a coagulant to slow the bleeding. Whatever might keep you from dying in the next few minutes. Finally, can you hold a rifle? If the answer is yes, then guess what? You're going back out there, soldier. The medic might literally prop you up behind cover, shove your last gun into your hands, and tell you to keep shooting until you physically can't. If you cannot hold a rifle, say your arm is blown off at the shoulder, or you're drifting in and out of consciousness from blood loss, then the medic has a tough choice. They might call for stretcher bearers if any exist to carry you to the rear. But that assumes a rear area exists and is accessible. On many battlefronts, especially the really desperate ones, there is no safe place to send the wounded. The front line is everywhere or moving too fast, or maybe the entire planet is one giant combat zone with no true behind the lines. In those cases, anyone who can't move under their own power is as good as dead. And while it sounds heartless, that's the reality. A medic might simply shake his head, murmur a quick prayer for your soul, and move on to the next voice crying out for help. This is where the infamous phrase, "Emperor's mercy," comes in. Sometimes the kindest thing a battlefield medic or a comrade can do is to end a soldier's suffering quickly. A bolt pistol round to the head, if a commissar or officer is around with one, or more often a las gun's low-powered shot or a knife between the ribs. A final, lethal mercy. It's not done out of cruelty, in the twisted compassion of the Imperial Guard. It's considered a mercy indeed. Better a quick death in the Emperor's light than to lie in the mud for hours, agony stretching out every second, only to die alone or, Emperor forbid, be found by the enemy. On the other hand, if the medic can patch you up even crudely, they will. One reason the guard bothers with medics at all, despite its willingness to accept horrific casualties, is that a soldier who lives to fight another day is a force multiplier. A cynical calculation underpins this. Even a modest medical effort can save a significant fraction of wounded troops, getting them back in action. Soldiers also fight harder knowing someone might try to save them if they go down. It's psychological as much as practical. But make no mistake, life is cheap in the Imperium. The only reason anyone will spare resources on you is so you can get back to killing the enemy. If it's clear you won't be able to do that, your prospects diminish drastically. Now, suppose the battle ends for now, and by some Emperor-given miracle you are still alive and still bleeding, but at least you weren't left to die. What then? In a perfect world, medevac transports would rush in, carrying the wounded to clean, well-stocked field hospitals behind the lines. In the real Imperium, that scenario is about as rare as an orc who enjoys poetry. However, it does exist in some form. The Departamento Munitorum, the bureaucratic behemoth that manages the Imperial Guard's logistics, sometimes establishes aid stations and field hospitals during larger campaigns. If a war is prolonged and relatively stable, fronts exist, you might find tent hospitals or commandeered buildings serving as makeshift infirmaries. In some theaters of war, the Imperium even deploys hospitaller units. Yes, actual dedicated medical personnel, such as the Sisters of the Order's Hospitaller of the Adepta Sororitas. Now, if you've never heard of the Order's Hospitaller, they're essentially battle nuns devoted to healing instead of fighting. Think of them as nuns with first aid kits instead of flamethrowers, though don't doubt their zeal. These sisters set up proper field hospitals, perform surgeries, and genuinely try to save lives rather than just patch holes. Injured guardsmen under the care of a sister hospitaller often react as if they're being tended by an angel, and comparatively speaking, they are. A hospitaller will clean your wounds with something better than a dirty rag, set your bones properly, even administer anesthetics before sawing off that gangrenous leg. Luxury. Of course, even the Sisters Hospitaller operate under war conditions, so their field hospitals can look like something out of our worst World War I nightmares. Rows of cots, if cots are available, crammed in a bombed-out building or a canvas tent, blood-soaked bandages piled in corners, the air thick with the smells of antiseptic, incense, and fear. There might be one hospitaller or medicae for dozens of patients, rushing from one moaning casualty to the next. Outside, the thump of artillery might still be audible, sometimes shaking dust from the rafters onto your bed. It's not peaceful by any means, but it's the closest thing to genuine care a normal soldier can hope for in the Guard. Most of the time, though, elaborate medical operations like that are reserved for large-scale wars or critically important battles, the ones the Imperium cannot afford to lose. If you're fighting a minor skirmish on a remote moon with little strategic value, forget it. You'll be lucky to find a single half-trained medic, let alone a proper field hospital. And remember, Space Marines get their own superhuman apothecaries. If you're a regular guardsman, you're not getting that level of attention. A Space Marine will step over a dying human soldier without a second glance. Unless he needs your last gun's power pack. You're not their responsibility. So, scratch any fantasies of a power-armored angel swooping in to administer a miracle drug. On extremely high-priority campaigns or in the aftermath of massive battles, the Munitorum might even deploy dedicated hospital ships or designate a hospital world further back from the front. These are planets or space stations turned into enormous medical facilities meant to treat the wounded away from the battlefield. It sounds merciful in theory, but don't imagine a tranquil convalescent paradise. These places are often as grim as any war zone ward, vast halls crammed with thousands of maimed soldiers, overworked surgeons performing assembly line amputations, and a near constant stream of new casualties pouring in. If you end up on a hospital world, it means someone high up thought you were worth the fuel and effort to evacuate. Lucky you. but it also means you'll be sharing a recovery room with countless others in agony. Even there, the clock is ticking. If you don't heal fast enough to return to duty, space and supplies are too limited to keep you around indefinitely. And whispered rumors suggest that on some of those hospital worlds just over the horizon from the recovery wards, the Adeptus Mechanicus runs biofactories churning out servitors. Draw your own conclusions about what happens to patients who aren't going home under their own power. Waste not, want not, as the Imperium would say. Let's say you survive the initial trauma and maybe even get off the battlefield to a Medicaid station. You've lost a limb or two, or you're otherwise seriously damaged. What next? In a technologically advanced civilization, you might expect fancy cybernetic prosthetics or long-term rehabilitation. The Imperium can provide those, but probably not to you, humble guardsmen. Augmetic limbs and organ replacements are expensive and usually reserved for those deemed worthy, commanders, heroes, or those with influential patrons. There are indeed stories of guardsmen receiving bionic limbs. Commissar Yarik famously had an orc's power claw grafted onto his arm after losing his hand, and Colonel Striken sports a high-end bionic arm and half a metal torso. But Yarik is a legendary commissar, and Striken a renowned Catachan colonel. The average guardsman might get, at best, a peg leg or a clunky mechanical hand if the regiment's tech priests have one lying around. If a grunt loses an arm or a leg, what kind of replacement he gets, if any, depends on what's available and how much anyone cares. In a well-supplied unit from a rich world, maybe they have a few standardized augmetic limbs in storage. These could be decent, functional, if not comfortable. On a scrappier front, you might get a crude prosthetic, a wooden peg, a hook, or a simple mechanical limb that's more piston than finesse. A veteran missing a hand might strap a combat knife to the stump and call it good. In truly primitive regiments, they might literally carve you a wooden leg and expect you to hobble along. One way or another, if you can still pull a trigger or lug equipment, the guard will keep you around. Lose your legs? Maybe you'll man a heavy weapon from a fixed position, sitting on the ground. Lose an arm? Perhaps you can still toss grenades with the other. And if you're too far gone to fight but still breathing, they'll find something for you to do, even if it's only chanting the litany of courage from a hospital bed to inspire others. The Imperium has a way of using every part of a human being, if not as a soldier, then as a laborer or a servitor, or even as biomass. They're not going to let you sit idle for long. We should talk about infections and disease, the silent killers. Battlefields in the 41st millennium are filthy and often contaminated by things far worse than mud. Wounds fester, even if an injury isn't immediately fatal. Without proper care, infection can finish the job in a nastier way. Imperial medics do what they can. They have antiseptics. Some have access to synth skin, an artificial skin graft, to seal wounds. A standard issue med kit often contains coagulants, counterseptic unguents, and a few doses of broad-spectrum antitoxins. But these supplies run out quickly in protracted fights. Many guardsmen end up treating infection the old-fashioned way. Alcohol, pour some on the wound, drink the rest to dull the pain, and prayer. Trench foot, gangrene, blood poisoning. These are common foes. Medics will amputate later if an infection sets in, not because the initial wound demanded it, but because the limb rotted afterward. It's gruesome, but commonplace. In the chaos of war, psychological trauma is another wound entirely. The Imperium, however, isn't particularly sympathetic to the plight of a guardsman's mind. There's no leave for shell shock, no counselors waiting to talk you through your nightmares. Instead, there are commissars to enforce discipline, and ministerium priests to exhort you to have faith. The soldier breaks down, shaking and weeping after seeing his squad butchered by tyrannids. The likely treatment is a stern lecture about duty at gunpoint. Perhaps a prayer session with the regimental chaplain, reminding the trooper that the Emperor suffered far worse for humanity's sake. The Imperial cult encourages the idea that enduring mental anguish is just another form of piety, a chance to prove one's devotion by carrying on despite the nightmares. On rare occasions, a commander might recognize that a soldier is too mentally scarred to continue and arrange for him to be sent away from the front. There are whispers of such cases, an honorable mention in dispatches, and a ticket to a distant convalescence home. But the grim joke circulating in the Guard is that these so-called care facilities tend to be conveniently located near servitor manufactorums. In one notable tale, a group of shell-shocked guardsmen were shipped to a specialized hospital in a quiet system to recover. That world, as it happened, also boasted an exceptionally large output of combat servitors. Coincidence? The footnote in that story all but spells it out. Those traumatized troopers likely ended up lobotomized and wired into servitor frames, their nightmares erased along with their personalities. It's a horrifying thought, surviving war only to be turned into a mindless drone. But to the Imperium, it's just another way to make use of a human resource that can no longer hold a gun. This brings us to the broader fate of many wounded guardsmen once the shooting stops. They don't get parades and pensions. They get repurposed or discarded. The Departamento Munitorium doesn't really have a concept of veteran retirement for ordinary troopers. You serve until you die. If you can't serve in the field, they'll find another role for you if possible. Some may become instructors, using their experience to train the next wave of cannon fodder. Others might be assigned to logistics. A one-legged soldier can still clerk at a depot, after all, stamping requisition forms or inventorying last packs. A few might be folded into a planet's PDF, Planetary Defense Force, if circumstances allow garrisoning a world after a campaign. But these are exceptions born of necessity, not standard procedure. Far more often, if you're too broken to fight, you're seen as a burden and quietly removed from the regiment's roles. You might be handed over to the Adeptus Mechanicus for biological reclamation, a polite term that could mean servitor conversion or even corpse starch processing. Or perhaps you'll be bundled with other invalids and left as custodians on some backwater supply depot, effectively a slow dismissal via neglect. And let's not sugarcoat another outcome, execution. A guardsman who can't fight but also can't be easily shipped elsewhere might just catch a last bolt one quiet night. Officially, he died from his wounds. The squad sighs and moves on. It sounds atrocious, and it is, but in a war zone overrun with enemies, an immobile injured man is a liability that could get others killed. More than one officer has made the ruthless calculation that a quick death for a crippled soldier is preferable to slowing the unit down or letting him fall into enemy hands. Now, across a million worlds and uncountable regiments, there are some very rare happier outcomes for wounded guardsmen. These are the exceptions that prove the rule. Sometimes, after a victorious campaign, the Imperial Guard Command will allow the few surviving veterans to muster out and settle on the world they fought to conquer or liberate. Instead of shipping them off to the next war, the Munitorum grants them land and makes them colonists. Imagine that. You get shot to pieces defending some agri world, miraculously survive, and then they say, "Congrats, guardsmen, you're now a farmer on this planet," which still might be half devastated, but hey, it's yours now. It's not common, but it does happen, especially in large crusades where continuous redeployment of worn-down regiments isn't logistically feasible. Those handful of troopers who live to become grizzled old settlers are as close to retired as one can get in the Guard. Of course, even in those cases, their new home is often scarred by war. The peace they get is a hard, uneasy one, possibly interrupted by occasional uprisings or the need to fend off raiders. But they can at least take off their uniform and try to live a civilian life, haunted by memories as it may be. For a famous example, there's the story of a regiment in the Sabbat World's Crusade from the old novels that was so reduced in number and so far from their home planet, the survivors were given the right to homestead on a newly pacified world. They became the first generation of that planet's imperial settlers. Among them were plenty of wounded soldiers, missing limbs, scarred, traumatized, but alive. They turned their skills to carving farms out of battlefields, raising families who probably grew up on tales of their parents' battles, and building something new. It's a bittersweet ending. They got out of the meat grinder, but not unscathed. Despite these outliers, the grim reality for most is that the guard doesn't let you go home. As one cynical trooper quipped, the guard's retirement plan is a headstone or a serial number on a servitor chassis. The vast majority of guardsmen will meet their end in battle or due to their wounds. Even those who survive battle after battle eventually succumb to the law of averages, or perhaps the not-so-tender mercies of their own side. We've focused on what the Imperium does to its wounded, but it's worth noting that sometimes the worst fate for a wounded guardsman is to fall into enemy hands. All the horror we described about Imperial treatment might actually seem merciful compared to what the enemies of mankind have in store. Imagine you're lying wounded and your regiment has to retreat, leaving you behind. If you're lucky, the enemy finishes you off cleanly. If you're unlucky and they capture you alive, well, consider who we're dealing with. If it's orcs, they might drag you back as a sort of plaything. Orcs love a good fight, and if you can't give them that, they might still find you entertaining to torture or mock. There are anecdotes of orcs using human prisoners for target practice, or having Gretchen swarm over a dying soldier for laughs. Eventually, you'll die, maybe by being literally torn apart in a frenzy of crude humor. If chaos forces capture you, particularly the traitor legions or cultists, your fate could be a ritual sacrifice, or worse. Chaos Space Marines have been known to keep prisoners only to use them in dark ceremonies, offering their pain and souls to the dark gods. Or perhaps a warband dedicated to the chaos god Slaanesh, excess and pleasure, will subject you to agonies beyond imagination, keeping you alive for days, purely to relish your suffering. A cornate cult, worshippers of the blood god, will likely kill you quickly but violently. Skulls for the skull throne and all that, but quick is relative when an 8-foot super soldier is slowly dismembering you while chanting prayers to Khorne. If the Drukhari, Dark Eldar, take you alive, that is arguably the worst fate of all. The Drukhari are connoisseurs of pain. They will take you back to their shadowy city of Komorach and introduce you to a world of suffering that makes Imperial field hospitals look like holy shrines of mercy. A Dark Eldar Hemunculus, a sort of sadistic flesh sculptor, might decide to see how many organs you can survive without, or how much pain the human nervous system can register before it burns out. They have technologies to keep you alive and conscious, no matter what they do. Time loses meaning. You could endure what feels like years of torment in their dungeons, only to finally expire and have your soul consumed by them. It's a fate so awful that Imperial propaganda doesn't even know how to spin it. They just say, fight to the death, when the Drukhari are around, because surrender is literally worse. Even the more civilized enemies have little mercy. The Tau, for instance, might actually treat a wounded prisoner decently at first, patching you up out of a genuine, if patronizing, sense of wanting to show the superiority of their greater good. You might wake up in a clean medical facility, wounds tended. Sounds great until you realize they intend to either convert you, maybe you'll join their human auxiliaries if you're swayed by their ideology, or use you as a bargaining chip. And if the Imperial Inquisition ever finds out you are in tow hands and lived, they'll probably execute you as a potential traitor or contaminant. So even mercy from the enemy can backfire horribly. Honestly, many guardsmen pray to the Emperor that if they're to die, they die on the field, facing front, weapon in hand. It's not just about duty or courage, it's also to avoid these fates that lurk in the shadows. At this point, it's clear that for an Imperial Guardsman, being wounded is no golden ticket home. The very moment a soldier might most crave compassion is when the Imperium shows its hardest face. The Imperium of Man is not a gentle caretaker of its heroes. It's an uncaring engine that grinds soldiers up and then scavenges the remains for anything useful. The unofficial motto of the Astra Militarum could well be, "Only in death does duty end." Until a guardsman has stopped breathing, the Imperium will find a use for him. Whether it's strapping him back into the fight with blood still seeping through his bandages or harvesting his biomatter for the next day's ration bars, the gruesome fate of wounded guardsmen is a stark reminder that in the grim darkness of the far future, a human life is valued only for as long as it can serve. Compassion is scarce. Mercy, when it comes, is often just a last bolt. And yet, in spite of all this, or perhaps because of it, the Imperial Guardsman fights on. Why? Perhaps out of faith, or indoctrination, or simply the animal will to survive one more day. When you're caught in the meat grinder, sometimes all you can do is keep grinding forward. A wounded guardsman crawling through the mud with one arm, still trying to fire his weapon, is the perfect emblem of the Imperium's unyielding resolve. Tragic, valorous, and terrifyingly single-minded. So spare a thought for those brave billions of the Imperial Guard. Every scar they bear has a story, usually one of agony and survival against impossible odds. Every empty sleeve or crude bionic limb marks the price humanity pays to hold back the darkness. For them, a warm bed in a hospital and a gentle recovery are as fantastical as a fairy tale. Instead, they get a front row seat to the Imperium's harsh love, a love that demands everything and gives nothing in return but the privilege of dying for the Emperor. In the end, the only true escape for a wounded guardsman is death itself. Only in death does duty end, and in a galaxy that knows only war, that final rest may be the closest thing to mercy he will ever find.